God does not want you merely to be a reservoir to receive his blessing, but an aqueduct to also convey it.
Dr. Tony Evans says loving God and loving others are completely connected concepts.
They are hinged together like two hinges on a door. This door won't swing right unless both hinges are in sync.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Do you really love God as much as you say you do, or even think you do? Dr. Evans says there's a surefire way to tell. Let's join him as he explains with the help of this example.
We all have birthmarks. Some are obvious, some are not as obvious. It's a mark that identifies you. God has a birthmark that testifies that you're part of his family, and that birthmark is love. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you love one another. It would be God's definition of love that would mark us out as unique and distinct. Like has to do with some emotional attachment. You're comfortable with this person. You enjoy this person. Something about who they are and how they are and what they do. You connect with them. So to speak of liking speaks of a connectedness you have with another person. But love, defined by the Bible, is the decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another, whether or not you like them. In other words, biblical love does not require an emotional attachment. It's good if you like the person you love, but Jesus has even told us to love our enemies. And of course, if somebody is your enemy, you don't typically have an emotional like connection to them. And yet, there is a command to love. Because biblical love is predicated on a decision, not necessarily on an emotion. And that is the command. First of all, to love God with all of our heart, mind, might, strength, and soul, to love God first. God wants to be in the front of the line of your life. He does not want to be an afterthought when you've tried everything else. First, love the Lord your God. But then he says, second, love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 John chapter 3, that's the love letter. 1 John is the love letter in the New Testament. It's full of this love thing. He says, beginning in verse 13, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Galatians 6:10 puts it this way, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. In other words, while God wants us to show love as broadly as we can, we are obligated first and foremost to express love within the family of God. What would you think about a father who fed all the neighborhood kids while his kids starved? Not much. You would say he's shirking his responsibility to his own home. So when God saved you and me, he said, I want you to become part of a spiritual family, the church. And as part of the spiritual family, where God's the father, we're the children, and you've got brothers and sisters who make up the family, I want you to have a family to practice love in. Let me put it another way. One of the reasons God wants every child of his to be part of a spiritual family is to attack our natural bent towards selfishness. We are naturally bent towards selfishness. In fact, most of us came here today wanting God to do something for us. And most who came here today wanting God to do something for them in most cases, I'm sure there are exceptions, probably didn't ask, and God, why are you doing this for me? Here's what I want you to do for somebody else. God does not want you merely to be a reservoir to receive his blessing, but an aqueduct to also convey it. He wants you to be a tool of dispensing, not merely a container of receiving. When the man asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, well, the first is that you love God. And then Jesus said, but the second is like it. The man never asked about a second. He only asked about a first. But the way Jesus answered is, we haven't completed it with just answering the first unless I continue with the second. Because the second is like the first. They are hinged together like two hinges on a door. This door won't swing right unless both hinges are in sync. Why is this important? This is what I'm going to say now. It's critical. Don't miss this. Please notice what he says in verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What I'm going to say here is deep. John is not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to Christians. That's why he talks about your little children, he says, your brother, okay, the family of God, your father. He's writing to Christians. All the way through the book, it's clear he's writing to Christians. But he says to Christians, those of my children who do not operate on this principle of love are abiding in death. But he's talking to Christians. And they do not have eternal life abiding in them. What does he mean? If I'm saved, don't I have eternal life? Well, let's make a few distinctions. He's not discussing everlasting life. How long you're going to live forever in the presence of God. He's discussing eternal life. Eternal life is not merely a length of time. Eternal life is a quality of existence. Jesus says in John 17, this is eternal life, that they will know me and you whom you have sent. So let me define eternal life. What you have now, you have everlasting life, but eternal life is your experience of God. You see, many of God's children don't experience the God that they have. God is a distant stranger to them, even though they're in the family. And he says, why? He says, because if you do not learn and operate on this principle of love, he says, you are abiding in darkness. Okay? In 1 John chapter 1, he says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God does not exist in darkness. In fact, the only definition that the Bible gives of God is light unapproachable. Okay, so if you think of the sun and what the sun means to the earth, then that's what God is to his creation. He is light. He dwells in unapproachable light. There is nothing about God that is dark. But the one who does not love, he says, lives in darkness. But since God is light and in him is no darkness at all, the Christian who does not learn the love principle and operate on it is operating in a location where God is not. You're operating in a place where he does not operate. So if you're praying, but you're praying in darkness, you're praying to somebody who's not there, experientially there. If you are crying out, but you're crying out lovelessly, you're crying out in a dark room where God is not operating because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So one of the reasons so many of God's children are not experiencing the reality of the Father is they are operating in a realm where he won't even visit. For God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if you do not love, you're operating in darkness. But since he is not darkness, he won't go to darkness. You're operating in a realm he won't show up in. And he says, not only are you operating, he says, you're abiding there. Abiding is where you hang out. Abiding is where you're loitering. Abiding is where you're staying. So many Christians are living in darkness and wonder why they're not hearing from the light. Because in him there is no darkness at all. And he says the distinction between light and darkness is a distinction of love. Its presence or its absence. If God is alive in you, love will be coming from you. If God is not alive in you, he calls you a murderer. But what he says is that this principle is so deep, it affects whether you are in or out of fellowship with God. So the reality is, many Christians are living out of fellowship with God and don't even know it. You know why? Because you can be in the dark so long you think dark is normal. See, you can be so used to the dark. You've seen people like this. They're hateful all the time, miserable all the time, mean all the time, unforgiving all the time. They're all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And the best they can come up with is, you know, I'm being me. That's because that is the realm they're living in, and they're so used to it, they're comfortable there. They don't even feel convicted about it. Why? Because God said there's nothing happening inside. There's nothing, there's no life of God operating. And when you're in darkness, it's a bad place to be in the night and think it's the day.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a deeper look at what love really looks like. In the meantime, if you could use more help making God's priorities your priorities, a good place to start is with the two great commandments Jesus gave us, to love God with all our heart and to love others as ourselves. Tony's dealing with the second of those commandments in his current series, Second, Rekindling a Heart for Others. It'll teach you why good works matter, how to avoid watering down the gospel, and how to avoid becoming a spiritual elitist by giving to those who can't give back. And if you can help us out right now by making a contribution of any amount, large or small, we'd like to say thanks by sending you this CD collection as our thank you gift. Remember, the only way we can keep Tony's teaching on the air is through the faithful support of friends just like you. So be sure to take advantage of this special offer before time runs out by visiting us at tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222. Where resource team members are standing by 24/7 to help with your resource requests. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you later on, after part two of today's lesson and this.
The thing about serving an infinite God is that no matter how much you know about him, there's always more to learn. So whether you're brand new to Scripture or an experienced ministry professional, there's something for you at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll find online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies like our new course on the book of James. Working at your own pace and schedule, you'll dig deep into the historical context of the book, uncover the key teachings, and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Dr. Evans to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. The more you learn, the more you'll want to learn. Give it a try. The Tony Evans Training Center, a world of discovery, anywhere, anytime.
Okay, let's go a little deeper. He breaks it down. Somebody say, break it down.
Break it down.
All right, thank you. I'll be glad to. Verse 16, we know love by this. So love is knowable. Love is not abstract. It's not up in the pie in the sky. You know, he says, this is how we know love. This is how we know love. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He says, you know love by the laying down of the life. Watch this. He's going to explain. Jesus laid down his life for us, died on the cross, demonstrating his love. So we know love by its demonstration, not merely its articulation. Okay? We know love by demonstration, and it involves the laying down of the life. But wait a minute, then how can I love a whole bunch of people at a whole bunch of different times if I got to die? No, he explains what he means. He says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? You remember the Good Samaritan? Three things. He saw a need, he felt the need, and he addressed the need to the extent that he was able. He saw it, he felt it, and he addressed it. That is the action of love. Jesus saw a need, we were sinners. He felt the need, God so loved the world, and so he addressed the need by dying on the cross. He uses the three things, same three things in verse 17. You see your brother in need, okay? And you have this world's goods, you have a substance or some level of ability to address the need. And then he says, but you close your heart. Okay, that's feeling the need. That's the compassion. So here are the three things. You see it, you feel it, and you have some capacity to address it. That's how he defined neighbor in Luke 10 last week, and that's how he defines meeting the need of your brother here this week. So what he is saying today is that love is an issue of action, not merely an issue of words. Love has to be demonstrated in order to be declared real. And if it is not demonstrated, it's not what God calls love. It's some other word. It's like on steroids. So if you want to know real love, God wants to define it because God is love. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, so this is the definition you ought to use of love. And what does it do? Love addresses the need of another. A need you see, a need you feel, and a need on some level you can address. Okay? Every need you don't see. And every need you see, you don't necessarily feel. And every need you see that you feel, you can't necessarily do anything about. But when you see it, feel it, and can address it. And watch what he says. And close your heart. Here's how you know you and God are not on the same page. Because in order to close something, it has to be open. So God, through his spirit, we'll see that in a moment, opens up your heart to feel this thing. You see it, and you didn't just see it, it grabbed you. It got your gizzard. It got inside you. It grabbed you and wouldn't let you go. But you say, oh, no, and you slam the door, even though you could address some or all of the need. He says, you just missed God. How does the love of God abide? You didn't just say no to that need. You said no to God who had your heart open to the need and you slammed the door. See, the mere fact you have to slam the door meant God had your heart open to it. Or you wouldn't have had to slam it. He says, and you close your heart. That is, you resist it. The scripture that was quoted earlier, James 1, 27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress. So you're dealing with a distressful situation. Or James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister, see his family, is without clothing and is in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Here's the deal. You knock on my door and you say, I'm really hungry. I see the need, I feel the need, and I've got some food. Okay, so that's what's happened. And so I begin now with my knowledge of Scripture to biblically pontificate to you the great truths of the faith about God's ability to meet needs. I quote to you Philippians 4:19. For my God is able, you know, to meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I quote to you Philippians 3. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. I quote David to you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. I give you the word of God. And I even pronounce a blessing. God bless you. God bless you. I feel it in my spirit. God bless you. Everything I said was right and was also useless. It was right. Go in peace. Be warm. Be filled. But it was useless. He didn't need a sermon. He needed a sandwich. He says, if you don't give him what is needed, and you obviously have the capacity to, because he says, you have this world's goods, so there's a capacity there. And you close your heart when God had your heart opened. He says, God's love is not with you, because you closed the door on God. And what you don't understand, what I don't want you to miss individually or us to miss as a church, when you close your heart to that person or people, God is the one who's been shut out from you. I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. See, you didn't just miss the person. You just let God miss you. So a lot of us are operating in the realm of darkness because we talk a good game of loving God, but we keep slamming the door when God wants us to do something as an expression of his love for us through us to others. No, it's more than talk. That's why he says in 1 John chapter 3, little children, because it's a family issue, let us not love with word and with tongue, but in deed and truth. Don't just talk a good game. Let's walk a good game. Now we be in a spiritual family, not just a place to come eat every Sunday morning, but a place who shares food, shares what God brings our way. That's love. By this you know love. You don't know love because somebody can say it right. You know love because somebody can do it right. Act, deed and truth, not just words. The zinger is how he closes out in verses 19 to 24. Let me read it to you. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. In whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Okay, so we got the Father, we have the Son, and now we've been introduced to the Holy Spirit. When you love God first, we've already established that, and second, love others, needs you see, needs God opens up your heart to by his Spirit, and needs that you have the capacity to address, so you're responding to God. He says, now God will abide with you. And when God abides with you, in other words, you are sensing and experiencing a new level of his presence and operation in your life. And when he, watch this, abides with you, because you're operating the way he's prescribed, loving him and then loving others based on that criteria, when you do that, he says, whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandment, which is believe on Jesus and love others. Now you'll begin to see your prayers answered. Ooh, you mean to tell me my prayers may not be answered because I'm a loveless Christian? I'm asking my Father to do something for me, but my Father can't ask me to do something for somebody else. But I'm upset with my Father because he hadn't done it for me yet. In other words, not loving blocks answered prayer. It shuts the Spirit down in your heart. It shuts him down. The Spirit has to back off because he's operating in a dark world in there. But he says his Spirit is working in the heart, ready to do his thing, ready to work in the heart to do his thing. You know, when a woman, she goes to the drugstore, she buys a pregnancy kit. She buys a pregnancy kit. She reads the instructions. She takes the test. The right color comes on and it is clear she's pregnant. The doctor puts on a sonogram. The sonogram lets her see what was written. What was written gave the information. But now she sees it for herself. It's become alive now to her because she's seeing it. So what was revelation, I'm pregnant, has now become illumination. I see that I'm pregnant. Then the doctor or the nurse begins to describe it and give it a little detail. That's the head, that's the leg, depending on how far along the baby is. And so we started with revelation. We went to illumination. And now we got somebody giving confirmation. So when we move from revelation to illumination, and now we're getting confirmation, many of the girls who visit our pregnancy center or other pregnancy center change their mind about abortion because when they get revelation and illumination, and that leads to confirmation, it turns into compassion. Now they're not as easily ready to kill a life because they've seen it, which is why abortionists don't want the women having to see sonograms. Because once they see life, it's hard to let it go. I'm telling you now, with the sermon you heard today, that's revelation. Okay? That's revelation. You start practicing this, it's going to become illumination. And when the Spirit starts moving, he's going to give you confirmation. And he's going to give you confirmation about the compassion that he's been working in your heart.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final thought about why people who've really seen the light only want to move forward, never back. First, though, I want to remind you that today's message, Practicing Christian Love, is part of Tony's current teaching series, Second, Rekindling a Heart for Others. Now's the time to get in touch with us and get the full-length version of all 7 messages in this collection, including bonus material you won't hear on the broadcast. If you contact us before time runs out, we'll send it to you as our gift in appreciation for your contribution of any amount to help us keep this program coming your way. Get details on the second series by calling our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or make the arrangements online at tonyevans.org. When you do, take a moment to click on the top menu and follow the link that says Jesus. There, you'll get a generous dose of that illumination Tony was talking about and discover how the light of God's love can drive out all the darkness of your life. Tony will talk about how the Lord's death on the cross paid the price for everything you and I have ever done wrong and made it possible for us to have a real personal relationship with God starting now and continuing through eternity. The Bible says there's no other way to make this happen. So visit tonyevans.org today to find out more. You can also follow along with Tony as we read through the Bible on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. This week, we're looking at Isaiah 53. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Well, next time, Dr. Evans will begin a new series on how we can receive back the love we give. I hope you'll be with us for that. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up today's program with these final comments.
My challenge to you today is to not be satisfied with eating a sermon, but experience God by living a sermon. And you live it by love.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.